And so it's okay for somebody to say the fruit of a Christian is another Christian. But then they take this verse and they say, now what this verse means is the fruit of a Christian is another Christian. And if you don't bring people to Christ, God is going to throw you away. You're going to lose your salvation and you're going to burn in the fire of hell. Is that what this verse means? Absolutely not.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue with a series called 40 Days in the Word. In these lessons, Rick makes it possible for anyone to study and understand what the Word of God really says. Whether you've just started studying the Bible, you've been studying for a while, or you're a biblical scholar, there's something for you in this amazing series. Now, in just a few moments, we're going to tell you about how you can get this entire teaching collection called 40 Days in the Word for your personal audio library on CD or MP3 download. You can take a sneak peek at it while you listen today just by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word daily to 99000. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part one of a message called Understanding the Meaning of a Text.
Interpretation and correlation. How do I know, how do I understand the meaning of a text? And I've chosen today for us to use as a model one of the most vivid passages in the Bible by Jesus, where Jesus gets very, very intimate, very personal. It's a very powerful passage in John chapter 15. So if you have a Bible, you want to open to John chapter 15. If you didn't bring a Bible with you today, pull out your message notes because all of the verses are there on that passage. And what I'm going to do is I want to just read this first 17 verses to you. It's a pretty long passage. I want to read these verses to you, and I'm going to show you what it means and what it doesn't mean and how to model getting the right meaning out of a particular passage. Now, you've probably heard this said before by some Christian somewhere. God doesn't expect us to be successful. He just expects us to be faithful. Well, it sounds good, but it's not true. It's only half true. When people say God doesn't expect us to be successful, expects us to be faithful, it's true. God expects you to be faithful. But the Bible teaches that not only does God expect you to be faithful in life, He expects you to be fruitful. Fruitfulness, or bearing fruit, is one of the major themes of the New Testament. That God says, I have made an investment in your life. I made you, I created you, I saved you, I put my Holy Spirit in you, and I want an investment, a return on my investment. I expect you to live a fruitful life. I've planted the seed of God's word in you, and I want you to bear fruit. So it's not true that God just wants us to be faithful. He wants us to be faithful and fruitful. And one of the key passages on that is this one that we're going to look at today, John chapter 15. And we're going to look at the first 17 verses. Now, let me just read it to you. Jesus is talking and he says this, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it'll be even more fruitful. You're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. Now, this word remain means to be connected to, like being connected to the vine. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain or be connected to the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain or stay connected to me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Circle that, much fruit. God wants you to live a much fruit life, a very fruitful life. Not just a little fruit. He wants you to have a lot of fruit in your life. Now, apart from me, you can do nothing. He didn't say few things, but nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and they're thrown into the fire and burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, You will ask what you wish, whatever you wish, and it will be given you. That's a pretty amazing promise. Now, this is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit. Notice there's that phrase again, much fruit. God wants you to be a much fruit person. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciple. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's command and I remain in his love. Now he says, I've told you this. I've told you all these things, what I just talked about. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. He said, I want you to be joyful from what I've told you. And my command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other. Now, friends, those 17 verses have more spiritual insight, more power-packed truths than I could possibly teach you in 4 months. I mean, so sit back. This is going to be a long sermon. Actually, we're going to have to limit the study, because if we took every single sentence there, there's so much spiritual truth in this passage. We literally could study it for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. But we've got to limit our study. And what I want to do today is focus primarily on this concept of fruit. And I want to show you how a verse can be misinterpreted, because this is one of the most misinterpreted passages in Scripture by people today. If you ignore the rules of interpretation, you're going to get it wrong.
We'll continue our series, 40 Days in the Word, in just a few moments. If you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, just go to PastorRick.com and click on his social media links. And while you're at it, go ahead and sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the other helpful resources. That's PastorRick.com, or you can just text the word DAILY to 99000. The second half of today's lesson is coming up.
Thanks so much for being with us today here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. If you love what you're hearing and don't want to miss any part of this series, then contact us right away to get your own copy. The 40 Days in the Word complete audio series by Pastor Rick Warren is perfect for your personal audio library and for sharing with friends and family. The series is available as a CD box set or by high-quality MP3 download. We'll send it to you as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry. The collection includes 7 complete commercial-free messages from Pastor Rick Warren that are sure to be a blessing to you and your loved ones. Just go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy of this 40 Days in the Word complete audio series. That's PastorRick.com. Or you can call 800-600-5004. Again, call 800-600-5004. If you've got a smartphone or tablet, just text the word DAILY to 99000. Thanks so much for your support.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Once again, here's Pastor Rick Warren.
If you ignore the rules of interpretation, you're going to get it wrong. Now, you've heard people say when you talk about the Bible, well, that's just your interpretation, as if, well, you can have an interpretation and I can have an interpretation and somebody else can have an interpretation and they're all equally valid. That is not true. The Bible, each verse in the Bible has one and only one meaning. Now, it may have multiple applications, but it only has one interpretation. The Bible doesn't mean 10 different things when it says something. It means one and only one main thing. Now, many applications, depending on whether you're a man or a woman, or you're young or you're old, or you're married or you're single, or you live in the 21st century or the first century, has many different applications. There are a limitless number of applications to every verse in the Bible, but there's only one meaning to each verse. And if you don't get it right, you're going to go off a deep end. So it's not a matter of, well, that's just your interpretation. There are correct ways to interpret the Bible, and there are incorrect ways. There are legitimate ways to interpret the Bible, and there are illegitimate. And if you don't know the rules of interpretation, you can go off and form some cult. You can make the Bible say anything if you're willing to ignore the rules of interpretation. Really, you can make it say anything. By taking verses out of context and misinterpreting them here and there. And so I'm going to show you how to interpret the verses correctly so that when you're listening to somebody on the radio, you go, oh, that's no way is that right, because he's violating this principle of Scripture or whatever. Now, one of the problem verses in this passage is verse 6. And verse 6, when you first read it, sounds kind of scary. It says this: if anyone doesn't remain in me, he's like a branch that's thrown away and withers. And such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. Now, I've actually heard radio preachers and TV preachers preach this verse and misinterpret it grossly. And what they usually say is something like this: if you don't remain in me, you're going to be thrown away. Branches are picked up, thrown in the fire, and burned. And they say, now here's what this means. If you don't bear fruit, and by the way, the fruit, they'll say, the fruit of a Christian is another Christian. Now, so far, so good. That's okay. In other words, the fruit of an apple tree is an apple, and the fruit of a pear tree is a pear, and the fruit of a tomato plant is another tomato. And so it's okay for somebody to say the fruit of a Christian is another Christian. But then they take this verse and they say, now what this verse means is the fruit of a Christian is another Christian. And if you don't bring people to Christ, God is going to throw you away. You're going to lose your salvation and you're going to burn in the fire of hell. Is that what this verse means? Absolutely not. That is a gross misinterpretation, and it totally ignores the context and the rules of interpretation in Scripture. Now, do I have your attention? Okay, here's the first principle. I want you to write it down. You consider the historical context. Consider the historical context. And what I mean by that is you ask this question: who is being spoken to and why? Who is being spoken to, and why are they being told this? Now, until you know the who, what, when, where, why, and where, you don't know what this verse means. Long before you ever ask, what does this verse mean to me? You need to ask the question, what did it mean to the people God was talking to then? What does it mean to them then? That's the original meaning of the text. Not some application for today, but what did it mean to the people he was talking to then? And you say, who is God talking to, or who's being spoken to? Why is he saying it? And when is it being said? Now, this particular passage that we're going to look at today, John 15, which is a passage on fruit bearing, is right in the middle of a four-chapter conversation that's all said on the same evening to the same group of people. It was said the night Jesus was betrayed, arrested, and taken to be whipped and scourged before he was crucified. This is the last conversation of Jesus before he goes to the cross. Now, Jesus has spent 3.5 years with his 12 disciples, hand-picked men who he's lived with for 3.5 years, training them to take on the ministry after he dies, resurrects, and then eventually goes back to heaven. And he wants to spend time with them. And he takes them to a very private place for a private conversation. And what he's saying here, he's not saying to the whole crowd, he's not preaching to big group, he's not saying this in a church, he's saying it to his most trusted followers, the people he loves the deepest and the dearest, because they have lived with him for his entire 3.5 years of public ministry. And in John chapter 13, 14, 15, and 16, we have one extended conversation that all happens on the same night. It's not separate. It's talking to the same guys the same night. And in John 17, he then prays for them. Then he is arrested and taken and crucified. So what I want to do is to understand chapter 15, you got to go back to chapter 13. Now, to understand the context means to look at the verses before and after the verse that you're studying in particular. So you just don't pull it out of context. So I want to spend a little bit of time, take me a little bit of time, to take you through what happened before and after and up to the point where Jesus talks about fruit bearing. So we're going to go back a chapter or two and go back to chapter 13. And we'll walk through this. Now, as I said, he's invested 3.5 years with these disciples. He loves them. These are his farewell instructions. When somebody is saying their last words before they die, you listen. And what Jesus is going to talk about in this conversation is the most important thing he wants us to understand. Because if there was anything more important, believe me, he'd be talking about it. He is now summarizing his ministry in these 4 chapters. And Jesus takes them to a private room. It's called the upper room. And there they observe the Passover, which becomes the famous Last Supper, or becomes communion, which we now practice today. And in that intimate relationship with those he loves most, he starts this conversation in chapter 13, verse 1. Now, it's going to be up here on the screen. It's not on your outline. Let me read part of that. John 13, verse 1. It was just before the Passover feast, and Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. In other words, he knows he's going to die on the cross. Having loved his own who were in the world, he's talking about the disciples, he now showed them the full extent of his love. So what he's going to say in chapter 13, 14, 15, and 16 is going to show the full extent of God's love for them and for us. Now, the evening meal was being served. This is in the upper room. And the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Now, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God, and that he was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin, and so began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Now, this is an incredibly intimate scene. It says Jesus knows who he is, and so he's going to perform an act of service to the disciples that's going to blow their mind. It's going to astound them. Now, by the way, you can't serve people till you know who you are. The number one thing that keeps you from serving other people is insecurity, because you don't want to be treated like a servant because you're not secure in yourself. Jesus knew who he was. He's God. And so it says he was able to take off his outer garments, and he does this lowly act of foot washing. Now, in those days, nobody wore shoes. They wore sandals. Everybody wore sandals. So your feet got dirty every day. And it was common custom that when you went to somebody's house for dinner, the first thing you did is you washed your guest's feet. It was a refreshing time. It was just lifted the mood. But it was always done by servants. And Jesus does the absolute unexpected. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe, takes off his clothes, wraps a towel around him, and begins to wash the feet of his disciples. And they cannot believe what's going on. He is serving them like the lowliest servant. And it says next, he came to Simon Peter. who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You don't realize, Peter, now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." By the way, you don't understand what Jesus is doing in your life right now, but you'll understand later. I mean, rarely do you know and understand what God is doing in your life when he's doing it. It is usually only in retrospect, looking back, you go, "Oh, now I see what God was doing in that circumstance." You can almost never see what God is doing in your life in the moment. It's only looking back. And Jesus says, "Peter, you don't know what I'm doing right now, but later you will understand it." Peter said, "No, Lord." By the way, that's a contradiction. You can't say "no" and "Lord" in the same sentence, okay? He's either Lord and you say yes, or you say "no" and he's not your Lord. You don't say "no" to Lord. You don't say "no" to God. If he's your Lord, you don't say "no" to him. So this is a contradiction. "No, Lord," Peter says, "you shall never wash my feet." That ain't gonna happen, Lord. You're the Lord, no way. Well, Jesus answered, "Unless I wash your feet, Peter, you have no part of me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter said, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." I love this guy. He's like, "Okay, give me a bath, Lord, okay. If this is the way I get in, if this is part of it, man, get out the Shamwell and let's do a sponge bath from head to toe. Come on, Lord, the whole body, the full body, everything, Lord, come on, let's just do it all." I love this guy. He's a "no," he's "no way," and now, "okay, everything." He's all or nothing. Reminds me of myself sometimes. Okay, and Jesus answered, "Peter, a person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet because his whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you. For Jesus knew who was going to betray him, and that's why he said not everyone was clean." You see, Judas was still in the room. They had had Passover together, and Judas is still in the room, and Jesus goes, "So you're clean, but not all of you," because he knows Judas is still here. One of them is going to betray me. And later, Jesus says to Judas, "Whatever you got to do, go do it," and Judas leaves. And later in over chapter 15, we read it earlier, he says, "Now you're all clean." Why? Because Judas wasn't with him anymore. Here's the 11 true blue guys who stuck with him through thick and thin.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. If you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, simply go to PastorRick.com or iTunes and download our podcast to listen again. Rick's going to be back in a moment with a final word of encouragement. If you'd like to have this entire series on CD or downloadable MP3s for your personal library, just contact us today and request the 40 Days in the Word Complete Audio Series by Pastor Rick Warren. We'll send it to you right away as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry. The collection includes 7 complete commercial-free messages from Pastor Rick Warren that are sure to be a blessing to you and your loved ones. And now here's Rick with a closing thought.
I love receiving notes and emails from Daily Hope listeners like you. Here's one that I got from Vio, a listener from Canada. She shared, "Pastor Rick, I'm eternally grateful for all the wonderful work you're doing. Your messages are touching my heart and changing my life, and I'm sharing Daily Hope broadcasts with other people. Last month, I was baptized at my local church, and God is truly working in my life. Thank you, Pastor Rick." Well, Vio, it's so encouraging to hear these kind of messages. Thanks for writing me. And it's exciting to hear that you're sharing this Daily Hope program with other people. And I'm also glad to hear that you were baptized. Every Christian should be baptized. It's an important step of faith that says, "I'm not ashamed of saying that I'm a follower of Jesus Christ." I'm also happy that you found a local church family. You cannot be all God wants you to be without being connected to some kind of local church family where you live out all of God's purposes for your life. One of the most powerful things you can do is share your testimony. And here's one way you can do that. If God has used this broadcast in your life, would you let me know about it? Email me today, rick@pastorrick.com. Thanks for listening to Daily Hope today.
Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.